All right, how many of you have your Bibles tonight? If you do, I know I already asked you that, but now that you got it in your lap, put it up there as high as you can get it. We'll love to see all those Bibles. Love to see all those Bibles. That is fantastic. Good, as high as you can reach it. As high as you can reach it. Okay, now put it down into your lap and find the book of John. Same one we looked at two nights ago. Find the book of John. When you find John, find chapter 5. John chapter 5. And when you find John 5, find verse number 24. When you find the 24, put your finger on it. Sit up real good and straight. Look right this way. That way I'll know you've got it. So John 5, 24. You people still looking? That's all right. All right. Before we read the verse tonight, let me remind you what we want you to do. First of all, we want you to sit up. So what's the first thing you do? Sit up. Go ahead and say it to me. Sit up. And the second thing, do you remember the second one is? Look up. So we want you to sit up and look up, and if you will sit up, look up, it will help you to listen up to what God has for you tonight. Now, when we're reading the Bible, you can look down where some of you are taking notes about the message. If you're supposed to do that, that's fine. But otherwise, just be looking up so that I can be looking at you and know that you are listening to me. Now, let's find your finger on John 5:24, and you follow it while I read it. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this is Jesus speaking, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now look right this way. We have heard some preaching this week that's really been a help to us about knowing how a person can be on their way to heaven. Last night in the service, Brother Glenn asked at the end of the service, how many of you do not know that you are on your way to heaven? And there were a number of you that raised a hand and said, I don't know for sure if I'm on my way to heaven. There were five of you that slipped out in the service last night and spoke with the counselor, got some questions answered, and now you've got that taken care of. You've got that settled. But it seems like there are probably some more of you that are still in that place where you do not know for sure if you're going to go to heaven. Now, when Jesus talks about this and going to heaven and having eternal life, it doesn't really sound to me like something that's a, I don't know, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen, not sure. It sounds like something that's very, very certain. He said, if you will hear what I say and believe on the one that sent me, that was God the Father, put your trust in Jesus as the one that he sent. He said, you can have everlasting life, so much so that you will have passed from death unto life. By the way, did you know when a person is saved, they're not going to have eternal life someday. They have eternal life right then. You get it at that very moment. You say, but Mr. Troy, I will still die from this earth. That's true. That's about our bodies. But actually, you have everlasting life that can never be taken away from you because it is everlasting. And that is something that comes to you the moment that you trust Jesus to save you. And if it is that certain that you have it at the moment you put your faith in Christ, then there shouldn't need to be anybody that doesn't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Now I got to thinking, why would a person not know if they're going to go to heaven? Why would someone not be sure if they're going to go to heaven? And I could think of three reasons, and I want to share these reasons with you tonight. And maybe you'll say, Well, Mr. Troy, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. And maybe one of these will be the reason why you don't know. So I want you to listen up and think about perhaps if you don't know, why it is that you don't know, so we can get that taken care of. And tonight would be a good night to do that. So here is the number one reason why people don't know they're going to heaven. And that's when people know that they have not been saved. Did you know that there are a lot of people that realize they're not saved? They know they've never trusted Jesus to save them. They know that they're a sinner. They know that they would have God's punishment on them because of their sin. And that's not a good place to be in, but that is a good first step. Because if you already know I'm not saved, then that probably means you know how to be saved. And if you know how to be saved, then you can be saved and you should be saved. Let me give you an example from the Bible. There was a man, we don't know his name, but we know what he did for a living. He was a jail keeper. He was a jailer. He lived in a town called Philippi. What was the name of the town? And so we know him as the Philippian jailer. A person who lived in Philippi was called a Philippian. I don't know where you live. Maybe you live in Buckeye. So maybe you're a Buckeyean. I don't know. But a person who lived in Philippi was a Philippian. And so the Philippian jailer met two men whose names were Paul and Silas. What were their names? They were in jail. You say, well, they must have been pretty bad guys. Actually, they weren't. They were pretty good guys because the reason they were put in jail was because they were teaching people about Jesus and what Jesus had done. And there were people who didn't like it, so they threw them into jail. Now, in their jail, when it got dark at night, it was dark in the jail. There were no lights. And so they were just in darkness. But even in the darkness, in a dirty, nasty jail, at midnight when they couldn't sleep, they were complaining. No, they weren't. They weren't complaining. They were singing. Singing praises to God. Thanking God for all that God had done. And I have no doubt that the Philippian jailer heard that. And then something kind of crazy happened. There was an earthquake. Now, how many of you have ever been in an earthquake? You ever experienced an earthquake? Okay. Some of you have. I've been in a couple. I've been in one. One time I was driving down the road in California. I am absolutely certain there was an earthquake because all of a sudden the road seemed like I was on a roller coaster. It was kind of weird. It didn't really do that, but it sort of felt like that. One time I was in Yuma, and I was just sitting there outside my RV, and all of a sudden the trailer was rocking, and there was no wind, and we were feeling it. It was just really strange. So there was, you know, just strange things that have happened. I grew up in Illinois. We actually had earthquakes in Illinois. And one time I was sitting in my brother's house and stuff started rattling in his cupboards and we experienced an earthquake. So I've been in some earthquakes, but I've never been in one this bad because it was knocking doors open and it was just messing stuff up. And it was so bad that the jailkeeper thought that everyone had probably escaped in the confusion. And he was going to actually do something really bad. He was going to kill himself because he was afraid that all of his prisoners had escaped and that he would be killed for it. But Paul, realizing this was going to happen, said, no, no, don't do that. Don't harm yourself. We're all still here. And at that moment, the jailkeeper asked for there to be a torch brought, and he jumped into there, and he fell down on his knees in front of Paul and Silas, and he said, what must I do to be saved? Now, why did he ask that question? Now, I got a simple answer for you. Because he knew he wasn't saved. He knew that Paul and Silas had a relationship with God that he did not have. And he knew that he was a bad person and that he had done sins. And he knew that he needed help. And he said, what do we have to do? What do I have to do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, they can be saved the same way. Now, does that verse sound familiar? We talked about that verse at the very end of BBT this morning. Remember that song that we sang at the end of it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you remember that? Remember that? Why don't you sing it with me? Ready? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what they told the jailer, and guess what the jailer did? He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what happened to the jailer? He was saved from his sin, because that's what God promises. Hey, look, guys and girls, look right this way. If you know that you have never trusted Jesus to be your Savior, then believe on Jesus tonight. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait till, well, maybe I'm supposed to wait till I'm 47. No. Don't wait till you're old and 47. Make the decision now. If you understand that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you, then you can trust Jesus to be your Savior. You can and you should. But sometimes people don't know they're saved because they know they're not saved. And if that's what you are tonight, then you should take care of that. Number two reason. Sometimes people don't know that they're saved because they think maybe they have been saved, but they're just not sure if they have. Now, can I tell you a story? I'm going to tell you a story, not about Cowboy Bill, not about Noel the Loving Lion. I'm going to tell you a story about Mr. Troy. That's me, in case you forgot what my name was, all right? This is shocking to you, I am sure, but once upon a time, in a land far, far away, Mr. Troy was a junior boy. Isn't that shocking? Can you imagine me as a junior boy? So yes, I'm sure you were an absolutely fabulous junior boy. Thank you very much. That's how I felt about me too. Well, I was a junior boy in a land far, far away, and I used to go to camp just like you do. And I remember sometimes going to camp, and when I was at camp, people at camp would preach about, do you know for sure that you're saved? And I would think, I think so. I'm pretty sure so. Maybe so? Let's just go with yes. And so they would ask, all right, who knows for sure that you're saved? And I would say, a little bit noncommittal, but I didn't really want to commit to the fact I didn't know. I remember that happened a couple of different years at camp where I wasn't really sure if I was saved. And then I remember that there were times when I was back at home and I lived in a two-story house. I lived on the second story. I lived out in the country. In Illinois, we have a lot of farms. That's where I grew up. And so I could hear the corn blowing in the wind on those summer nights. My windows would be open. And you say, that sounds really weird, but I'm telling you, I kind of miss it a little bit. And I remember every once in a while I'd hear a car driving down the gravel road near where I lived. And I think that's cool. I could hear it from about half a mile away, getting louder, 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 and go by. And then I'd have to wait and see if another car would go by. Because, of course, I was in bed way before I was tired. And it was still light outside, because in the summer it was light till about 9 o'clock where I lived. And I remember sometimes I would just lie there and I would think, am I saved? I mean, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me. I just couldn't remember for sure if I had ever put my trust in Jesus to save me. Now, I didn't think about it every day. I didn't think about it every night. But I thought about it sometimes. And when I did think about it, it bothered me. And then one day, I went to Sunday school. How many of you ever go to Sunday school? Raise your hand if you go to Sunday school. Good. Going to Sunday school is a good thing. You can learn about the Bible. And when you go to Sunday school, do you listen to your teacher? How many of you listen to your teacher when you go to Sunday school? That is good. You should listen to your teacher. But I went to Sunday school one day, and now don't tell my teacher, okay? But on this particular day, I was not listening to her. Okay, now I'm also going to tell you, She's heard this story too, so she actually knows about it. I confessed. But that day I wasn't listening, and I had an actually pretty good reason. Because all of a sudden, while I sat there in my Sunday school class, I think there were a grand total of two of us students in the class that day. It was in a church basement, which are scary. Okay, the closest church basement I have ever seen to my church basement was the church basement at Hualapai Baptist Church in Peach Springs, all right? Every time I go there, I think about my church basement when I was a kid. So if you don't know what that's like, go visit Peach Springs and ask them to see their basement. It's a little bit scary, I'll just tell you, all right? No, it's very nice, but it was a lot like mine. And I sat in that class, and I remember thinking that day, while Mrs. Graves was teaching, and I was looking at her so she didn't know that I wasn't listening, and I thought, you know I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. But I don't know if I'm saved because I can't remember for sure if I trusted him already to be my Savior. Now, I thought I had. As a matter of fact, I grew up in a family where both my dad and my mom were already saved when I was born. It didn't make me saved, but it made it so I heard about Jesus when I was very small. And I know that my mom told me about Jesus. And I think that when I was 4 years old, after my mom told me about Jesus, that I went to my room and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I think that's what happened. But I can't remember that for sure. As a matter of fact, you want to hear something kind of weird? I'll tell you something. I can't remember that for sure, but I can remember sitting in my parents' car thinking about when I got saved. So I can't remember for sure getting saved, but I can remember thinking about when I got saved. I know that sounds kind of weird, but that's just what I can remember. And I thought it bothers me because I don't know for sure. So I'm sitting there, not listening to my teacher, realizing I know I'm a sinner. I can't save me from my sins. I believe Jesus can. I know that he rose from the dead. And it was like all of a sudden, this thought came to my mind. And the thought was, if I know all of this, why don't I just trust Jesus to save me right now and stop worrying about it? Isn't that a great idea? And so I told God what I just told you. And I prayed. Now you said, did your teacher think that you were asleep in class because you closed your eyes and prayed? Nope. Because I left my eyes open so she wouldn't know. I probably shouldn't have been so tricky. But at any rate, I got it settled that day, and here's what I did. I said, God, in my heart, I didn't say it out loud. I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me, and I believe it was for me and that he rose from the dead, and I trust Jesus to be my Savior. I think maybe I made this decision when I was 4, but if not, right now when I am, I think I was 10 or 11 there. I don't remember for sure that. But right now, I am just getting it settled and trusting Jesus to save me. And guess what? I'm saved. Now, the whole reason I didn't know was because I just couldn't remember something. Now, let me just tell you something kind of helpful, all right? If you can't remember, nobody else can tell you. The only one who really knows besides you is God. So just make the decision now to trust Jesus to be your Savior so that you can have it settled. Now, here is not what I mean. Listen up, listen up, listen up. I am not talking about every night before you go to bed saying, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's not what I'm talking about. That's like a good luck charm. I'm not talking about a good luck charm. That's the kind of stuff Ringu and those people believed in. It's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about, I don't know because I can't remember, but I believe all of this, so I'm just going to trust Jesus now once and for all and have it settled. Now, don't you think that's a good way to settle that problem? And there's no reason not to. So sometimes people do not know that they're on their way to heaven because they think maybe they have been saved, but they just can't remember. I love this verse. Look right this way. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So look, if you don't know, I can't tell you. God's not going to write it in the sky for you. So just act on what you know and trust Jesus to be your Savior and get it settled for sure. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? And by the way, when I was about 11 years of age and I did that, I probably should have talked to somebody about it afterwards. I didn't. And then I knew I was saved, but I had some other questions. And I waited way too long to tell somebody my story. Because I thought, well, I'll probably be embarrassed, or people will think, that's crazy, or you're the only one who ever did that. And later I found out none of that was true. Nobody thought it was silly. Everybody was glad for me. I wasn't embarrassed. I was just glad it was settled. And I found that it's helped other people when I've told them my story. So let somebody know so they can be encouraged with you. Now, here is one more reason why people might not know for sure if they're saved. One is because maybe they know they're not saved. Number two is because maybe they think they have been, but they're just not sure. But here is the third reason. Because sometimes people who are saved feel guilty about the sin they commit after they're saved. Now, did you know that when you get saved, God saves you from all of your sin? The sin in the past, the sin in the present, and the sin in the future. The future. That means that even after you are saved, God knows that you are still going to sin while you're on this earth. So when you are saved, does that mean you will never sin again? No, it doesn't mean that. The Bible tells us that inside of us, there is an old nature, and all it knows how to do is sin. But when you are saved, God gives you a new nature, and all it knows how to do is what's right. And now there's a battle between that sin and between what's right, and it's almost like two animals fighting inside of you, except it's actually you fighting inside of you. Am I going to do what's right? Am I going to do what's wrong? And when a person has been saved, but they keep doing something they know is wrong, it's going to make you feel guilty. By the way, that's not bad that that's happened. That's good. It's helping you to get back to where you should be with God. And so if you are doing things that are wrong, hey, let's just say maybe you are constantly being mean to people around you. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You've put your trust in Jesus, but you are mean, you are mean, you are mean. And then when you get by yourself, you kind of think to yourself, man, that's not right. Why do I always have to be so mean? What's wrong with me? Maybe I'm not really saved. Now look, are you saved because you stopped being mean? No. You're saved because you trust Jesus. Now, should you be mean? No, you shouldn't. But when you are mean and you are saved, it's going to make you feel guilty. And I'll tell you what else, the devil loves it when Christians do wrong things. Because I'll tell you what the devil wants to do to your brain. The devil wants to make you confused. If you here in this room tonight are not saved, he wants to make you think you don't need to worry about it. That's what he wants. If you in this room tonight are saved, he wants to make you think maybe you're not. That's what he wants. He wants to confuse you, because if you are confused, then you're not going to be able to live for Jesus the way you should. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, it tells us who are Christians that we are supposed to take the whole armor of God. How many of you have ever heard of the armor of God? You ever heard of that? All right, there's different pieces of the armor of God, right? You have the breastplate of righteousness. You have the feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace, the boots of the gospel. You've got the shield of faith. And here's one, the helmet of salvation. Now, why do you suppose that the Bible would tell people who are saved that they should take a helmet of salvation? Does God think that people who are saved need to get saved again? No, he does not. Once you are saved, you're always saved. Here's what God says. God says, look, protect your brain by knowing for sure that you're saved. Put that helmet on there so there's no way the devil can mess up the way you're thinking. Now, wouldn't it be interesting tonight if I came in with two great big swords like they used to fight with back in the old days? And maybe I came in and clanking armor, clank, 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 and I've got one of those helmets, you know, with the visor that it shuts and then I can open it up and see where I'm going again. And I've got all this armor on, and maybe I say, Mr. Josh, why don't you take this sword and I'll take this sword and we'll do hand-to-hand combat with our big swords. But I don't give Mr. Josh any armor. I've got the armor. He doesn't have the armor. And so I look at him and I think, I see a lot of fun places to poke him with my sword. But this is not a real sharp sword. This is a great big, heavy, hurt you bad kind of sword if it lands on top of you kind of sword. And so I look at him and I say, I know how to fight this battle real fast. And so I come up to him all gallantly, walking in a gallant manner. And then I go, fake left, fake right, boom, over the head, I win. You didn't know I was so good at fighting with swords. Well, look, if I was in a battle, even if I'd never used a sword, and I saw that my opponent didn't have a helmet on, and my sword is a great big heavy old sword, I'm just going to let it land on his head and see what happens. You know what I'm saying? I think it's going to work. And that's why God says, hey, Christian, make sure that you have the assurance of your salvation to protect your head. But here's what happens. Some of you stay doing wrong things so often, you feel so guilty about everything that it's like you're taking off your hat and tossing it away and saying, okay, devil, why don't you just take all the bad things that I've done and shoot them back at me as ammunition and make me feel terrible. And if you invite the devil to do it, he's going to do it. Because that's just the way he works. You see, the devil does not want you to know that you're saved. And if you are doing things that are wrong as a Christian, he's going to use that guilt to make you confused and make you not sure which way is up. So here's the thing. If you're always disobeying your parents and you're not sure that you're saved, maybe it's because you're guilty for always disobeying your parents. If you're always being mean and saying things you shouldn't say and you're not sure you're saved, maybe it's because you're always being mean and that's why you're guilty and it makes you feel like you're not saved. So look, if you know you put your trust in Jesus, but you also know you're doing things that are wrong, why don't you just stop and tell God, I'm wrong in doing these things. Help me to change so that I can have confidence in what I've already done to trust Jesus. Does that make sense to you? There are several reasons why you might not know that you're saved. But there's no reason for you to leave this auditorium tonight still wondering if you're saved. So here's a couple of questions I'd like to ask you. Mr. Glenn asked a question last night. I want to ask you a couple of questions tonight. Now, don't raise your hands yet. We're going to wait just a minute before you do. But in your heart, I want you to answer this question. Do you know you're saved? If you know you're saved, that's great. If you know you're not saved, then why don't you accept Jesus to be your Savior tonight? If you're just not sure if you ever have been saved because you can't remember, why don't you talk to somebody about that tonight? And if you think, Mr. Troy, sometimes I do wonder if I'm saved, and I think it's because I'm just feeling guilty for the bad things I've done, then why don't you confess that to God tonight so that you don't have to just keep being confused You understand what I'm saying? There's no reason to be confused when God says, I want you to know that you are saved. You can know that tonight, and you should.